Good morning. A special welcome to all of our visitors today. May God bless your experience at Emmanuel today. I'm sure you're hearing a lot about traditions at Emmanuel today. I wanted to take the time at chapel this morning to talk about another tradition. It's called the mid-morning snack. And it usually happens around chapel time. It's not unusual during chapel to see students with pop tarts or pretzels or even donuts for the lucky ones. Even the faculty takes a coffee break after chapel. I thought I'd show you my mid-morning snack for today. It's an apple. It's pretty simple, maybe even boring, but there's a lot of special things about this apple. It's sweet. It's crisp. It's fresh. I might even call it satisfying. But one more thing also, it's organic. That word organic is popping up more and more often today in society. What does that word organic mean? Well, essentially it means that this apple grew from water, sunlight, and soil without anything added in, from just the natural nutrients. You see, in the last half century or so, there's been a lot of farmers who have started adding things to their crops to help them grow. Some add pesticides to get rid of bugs. Some add chemicals to help preserve the food. Some even genetically modify the fruit so that it looks more pleasing to the eye. Because of the health risks involved in doing things like this, there's been an outcry recently against non-organic food. Well, that's nice and everything, but what does that have to do with chapel? What does that have to do with traditions at ILC? Your choice of your snack is up to you. I'm not here to try to convince you otherwise. But there is one question that I have. If people are so concerned about genetically modified foods, then why aren't more people concerned about theologically modifying God's Word? Why do some churches twist what the Holy Spirit has inspired as if that will make it somehow better? Why do people tend to bend and disobey God's laws because they think it fits with their own life? Why do we tend to interject our own opinions into God's Word from time to time because we think that it's right? Well, just like the food we eat, the temptation is in the appearance. It's much more attractive to me and much more desirable for me to eat something that tastes good and something that I crave rather than something that might be more healthy for me. How often have you picked instant gratification over long-term value? If we fall victim to our desires when it comes to food, why should it surprise us that we do the same in our spiritual lives? The sin that plagues your life, the sin that plagues my life, is continually eating away at me, trying to get me to pick those things that are unhealthy and yet attractive, rather than those things that will actually nourish my soul. It's something that we all struggle with too, isn't it? Think about it for a moment. How many times have you heard the message of sin and grace? How many times have you been taught the law and the gospel? Think of how many times you've sat in those bleachers, or in pews at church, or at home with your family, or in your desks, and heard that Jesus has died for your sins. Do you tend to just tune it out after a while? Have you ever reached the point where you think, really, again, do we have to hear this again? I know what you're going to say. Tell us something new. Tell us something that's going to inspire us. We already heard that message before. In summary, ask yourself the question in your own life, does the study of God's Word for you become more of a rigid procedure than a joyous opportunity? And just like that, the temptation to modify God's Word to fit our own thinking creeps in ever so slightly. And if that temptation goes unchecked, it will run rampant with your life. Your sinful flesh will go off and will lead you down a path to spiritual harm. Okay, so put that aside. We know we don't want to modify God's Word. We know we shouldn't change it. But how about that organic Word? How do we know that we have it? How do we know that the Gospel, that good news really is the pure Word of God? Well, listen to the way that Paul described it in Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the Gospel of God. Now he's going to define that Gospel. Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. That's it right there. That's the pure and organic Word of God. That is the Gospel. Jesus Christ, true man, true God, my personal Savior, the one who has called me by his death and resurrection, the one who enlightens my heart to spread his Word to all nations. That's it right there. That's everything you need for a healthy spiritual life. But sadly, just like the food we eat, that's not often what we want. It's not attractive to admit that I'm a hardened sinner, that I don't deserve God's grace, that I can't achieve it on my own. I don't like hearing that I can't please God with my own actions, that I need to rely on Jesus only. And because I resist that message by my flesh, oftentimes it becomes dulled down. And oftentimes, it becomes boring to me. But Paul reminds us, this is the pure, unaltered, organic Word of God. This is the only thing that we need to be healthy in our spiritual lives, for our soul. And that's precisely why we come again and again and again with the Gospel. The battle for faith and the battle for your souls is long and it's fierce. And that's why the attractive and quick fix methods of modifying God's Word to fit what I think is never going to work. When we do that, the enemy, our adversary, Satan himself, is going to overtake us by our own mistakes. But when we rely on God's Word, when we return to the pure an organic Word of God is found in the Law and the Gospel, our hearts are revived, and the Spirit works faith. We struggle with things in this life. We have the message of deliverance, and yet we still have sin. But because of the Gospel, I can stand here and tell you today, you are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves you. You know, the reason there's so much momentum for the organic food movement is because we're finally starting to realize some of the negative effects that those chemicals and those pesticides and those genetically modified foods can have on our life. Well, think about the same in your spiritual life. When I eat something that's not organic, it's probably not going to hurt me right away. But if I continue to bring in harmful elements to my body, the more I'm going to be subject to health problems. The same is true for your soul. You might be able to take in something false once, but the more and more you do that, the more and more you take in an altered word, the more harmful it's going to be for you. Morning and evening chapels are the greatest tradition at ILC. And precisely so, because they tell you about what God has done for you. They don't mix up the errors and the false teachings of the world. It's the pure and organic Word. When it comes to life at Emmanuel, I'm nearing the end of my education here. I'm on my way out. But for many of you, your academic experience is just beginning. But remember the difference about the Emmanuel experience. It's more than academics. It's more than extracurriculars. It's more than traditions. It's about God. It's about how He has saved you from your sin and how He tells you about that in His Word. It's about leading you to an experience with Him in heaven. We close with the hymn on your sheet.